Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The Gardaí may need to call to people's doors if they refuse to come for a COVID test, according to a TD. Fine Gael TD Fergus O'Dowd told the Dáil Committee that 1,314 people who have been in direct contact with a person who is a confirmed case of COVID-19 have not turned up for a test. And that seems a very high figure to him, he said. And he told the committee that the Gardaí could call to their homes and ask them to take the test, as it is a serious public health issue. He said, I think it's a huge figure and you need to do more work on it. If it means the Gardaí may need to call to them, you know who these people are. It is not a question that they are unknown. They are known people and you have to go to their addresses. And I think they should call and tell them that in the public health interest, they should turn up for a test. Now, the Gardaí don't have legislative powers at the moment to drag you out of your home and force you to take a test. There's no powers there for that. Then, mind you, the way things are going, that could be changed very quickly. But he said it was in the interest of public health. And anybody who goes around who doesn't have a test and has been in contact with somebody who's been has COVID positive creates a serious risk. And Dr. Lorraine Doherty, HSE National Clinic Director of Health Protection, said they are concerned about people not turning up for tests. She said it shows that public are being disengaged with the idea of having a COVID-19 test if they're symptomatic or if they are contacted, because they understand the implications of having a test and that it would restrict their movements. And that's exactly what it is. People out there don't want to be tested. So if somebody rings you up and you're in work and you're feeling perfectly fine and somebody from the HSE calls you and said, listen, you were in a restaurant last night there, you had your dinner. And just to let you know, two of the guests there have tested positive for COVID-19. We're just doing a bit of a contact tracing. Could you pop in and get yourself an L test? And you're thinking to yourself, oh, hold on for a second. I'm going to be holidays on Friday. Or, I have a big meeting on this week in work. Or I'm doing a project in work. Or I'm going somewhere. I'm doing something. I'm not going for any test. If I go for a test, I can't go to work. I can't do all these things. And there's a stigma attached to it, apart from anything else. And then you have to obviously have contact tracing on the people that you've been with. And it's just kind of like a vicious circle. And you're saying, oh, Jesus, fuck that. And that's why people are not doing it. Whereas they're saying, of course, you have a responsibility and a duty to do it during a pandemic. So, a Garda spokesman said it does not comment on remarks made by third parties and the public health regulations are a matter for the Department of Health. But I want to know what you think of Fergus O'Dowd's comments. Should the Gardaí be entitled to call to your door and inform you that you must take a test? Let me know what you think. The number is 0871880008. That's 0871880008. So, should the Gardaí be entitled to call to your door and inform you that you must take a test? And by the way, before I go any further today, can I mention as well a bon voyage to Ivan Yates? I know people don't normally do that on the radio stations from News Talk, who's actually doing his last show today and his last TV appearance, and very much enjoyed his work over the years. Wonderful man and a great opinionist, I have to say. And he will be sadly missed. Now, let me just go to Carl. Carl, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Carl?
I don't know.
Carl, would it be appropriate for the guards to call to your door and say, listen, Carl, you know, you were out last night or two nights ago in a pub there. Somebody's tested positive. You need to go get yourself a test.
I'm not sure if that measure is maybe too extreme, but I do feel that they certainly need to do something to tighten the screw, so to speak.
A third of people are not going for a test that have been requested to go for a test. Now, there's no law says you have to, by the way.
The test is free. You know, you only drive down to the Aviv and be swabbed. And
that's it, yeah.
You have a text message saying positive or negative. We had to do it with a lad in the job recently, but it's similar with the airports, you know, just people coming in and you could sign your name, Mickey Mouse. There's no one checking to see if these people, Americans or whatever, tourists is coming into the country.
Why not?
Our own Irish going back in to say, have you quarantined for 2 weeks? And as you say, it's down to the...
It's personal responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also a problem with landlords and stuff. Nothing has been sorted out in that end. People are afraid to take 2 weeks. They're already have to take maybe 2 weeks off. There's 2 weeks holidays, and then they come back and then afford a few weeks. They can't be out of pocket. And they're thinking, how am I going to pay my rent this month? And then...
Yeah, but you could be unfortunate. And let's say, for example, you're out at a restaurant this week and, you know, the HSE ring in and say, listen, you were in a restaurant last night there and somebody's tested positive. Can you go out there and get a test? And 2 weeks later, you're in a pub and they ring you again and say, listen. So you could be really unfortunate.
You could be called twice or three times.
That's what I'm saying. And you're out of work every time.
Well, there's a government advisory to not to be going out and to, you know, to still stick to a lot of the guidelines. Now, I know you say
people are going on with their lives, aren't they?
People are young, that we want to get on with things.
Yeah.
But it's still not safe to get on with things.
And Carl, are you, Maya, are you staying at home, Carl, are you?
To be honest, pretty much, yeah. I'm working Monday to Saturday, and I'm staying at home. We have two rooms rented in the home. They're rented to two foreigners. And they're not, in fairness, no disrespect to all foreigners, people in this country, but I've had a few, and they don't take that much heat. They've been travelling here, there, and everywhere. And so I've been sort of trying to keep the home clean and avoiding.
And are you not going out for an old pint, or are you not going for a quick meal, or?
I've been to restaurants. I don't think.
Okay, so you've been to restaurants, so you are going out.
I've been to restaurants, yeah. And even just go to pop in 3/4 of an hour, have me dinner.
I do the same. Yeah. I pop into the Coachman's there, usually up around Swords there. I pop in every now and again. Yeah. Dinner, yeah.
No, I've been to a good few places.
Can I point out, they do a lovely Carvery, by the way, and it's dirt cheap. If you're ever looking for a roast beef, turkey, potatoes and stuff, and a bit of gravy on top, and as much veg as you want, you can't beat it. And it's only like, I think, 10 or
12 quid or something.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
No, I've been to lots of them, but I'm trying to keep safe because I do want to travel, and also my parents are elderly.
Right, okay. But you see nothing wrong with the guards calling to the door for a quick reminder?
No, I didn't say that. No,
Maybe it's gone too far then, is it?
Maybe a call from the guards or some sort of senior official to say, hey, listen, you have to go and get this done. And you know, I don't feel they're bringing it a lot. If you don't go, you're going to be brought to court or a fine or something. But
right, okay. That,
we still have to protect the elderly. We can't drop the ball now at this stage.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Michal. Michal, you're on Classic Kids. Evening, Michal.
Cheers,
Michal. Put us a tattoo, August.
Tom makes us a white chin. I'm going to cross the bridge, Dragon.
I'm win two on the Lee Road.
The guy can have impression.
That just means he's on the ball, like.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely attached to counting them.
God's be gracious.
Oh, yeah, typical. Get your Irish right.
How do you say in Irish, are you on the ball?
We'll touch over the Leroy.
Yeah, well, okay, well, there wasn't you.
I'm racing for cat. Okay, No, I was in Gigano.
Have you any idea what he's saying, Carl, at all?
No.
Michal, would you have a problem with the guards knocking on your door and saying, Michal, come as a tattoo, whatever they'd say to you, get your ass out here, we need to get you for a COVID test because you were at a pub last night and somebody had COVID. Would you have a problem with that?
Well, I wouldn't, because one thing for sure, I'm at home with a broken knee for months, and won't be calling to me. But
Michal, sorry to hear that. Such an active man.
That one thing is for sure, that the country is full of assholes, is the way I look at it. And it shouldn't have...
Well, in fairness, most of them are in one building. It's called the Dáil, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, you can say... I'm not going to argue with the present minute. I don't want any work if I've just gone out. But the point is that I have to give them a chance. But I prefer to have that, the three M's together, or the two M's and the L.
Nice.
Both L.
Right.
The point about it is that the Gardaí should have the power to call, and it's not that the power to call. The next door neighbour sees this Gardaí to go, oh Jesus, what's that? Oh, keep away from them, give them a wide berth. To force them the annoyance out of the public humiliation by letting them see, as I told you before, I would listen to
Why would you want to humiliate somebody? They haven't done anything wrong.
Hold on a minute, you've not done anything wrong, but you're in the presence of somebody that was done wrong. Your Honour, I didn't shoot that fella.
No, stop for a second. Stop with the stigma. You only went to a restaurant, and the person who got it probably only went to the restaurant as well. So, I mean, why would you want to shame somebody and humiliate them? They haven't done anything wrong.
Because I just said to you, the country's full of assholes. They won't do it.
A third of them.
He was always the one to it. That lad was sitting bleeding 25 yards or 30 yards away. Oh, no, I wouldn't get it. But the same lad served you as it served me. And that's they have to go. They have to go. But
okay, would you extend it further and make it compulsory that they'd have to get a test?
Well, I would make it compulsory to have to get the test.
Oh, right. The kicking and screaming.
The door will cause the embarrassment enough that they were all unable to see. Oh, God, we'll just give them a white belt. Go and get
your test done. I'm glad you're not my neighbour. Jesus Christ, Michal. You want to humiliate people. They haven't done that wrong.
I'm not going up to the North City, and I like to coach man, too. I like where you eat because it's really, really great grubbing that place. And another part of Malays and Tara, you know, the one owner. She has a great grubbing them.
Yeah, great grubbing them.
I will hand you that. But the point is that the Gardaí should have the power, but there should be more than that. We don't have the Gardaí. For God's sake, we just don't have the Gardaí. They haven't enough Gardaí to what's happened. Let's go and follow up the like of this. But the point is, you have St. Kerry or Donegal or maybe the Aspel of Armagh, but that's the North, but we're calling Carlo. And you don't have the Gardaí to go out and knock on doors.
Right, okay. But you would agree that the Gardaí should be called up if we had the manpower to do it, to humiliate people into going for a test.
I would.
There you go, Carl. He wants them to humiliate it.
100%.
What do you reckon, Carl? Humiliate people to go? Because now, in fairness, only, like, I mean, I know the HSC were saying to Jesse, only a third of people are turning up for their tests.
They're not
paedophiles,
you know.
I know. It's just humiliate them.
As you say, they only went for a meal, but yeah. We still should. It should be a little bit stronger. They should tighten the screw a little bit on the people that are told that they were in contact and similar. The people that's coming into this country when they have to quarantine. We should be, if they're in wherever they are. If they're in Dublin 24 Garda station, should get a list of the people that have come into the country, and they should be asked to do the checks on the people that come into the country. Wherever these people live,
I think 113,000 people can come into the country over the space of 2 months or something like that was mentioned last night.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, Michal, what are you saying oh Jesus for? That's what happens in countries.
Coming into the country, I didn't think that that many been allowed.
Oh, yeah. I think Michal Martin mentioned it yesterday. It was 113,000 people. Now, mind you, that's not a lot in the space of in that short period of time during COVID-19. And generally, in that period of time, we would have a few million people come into the country.
Yeah, one or two of the virus is an awful lot.
Yeah, okay. Clearly, by the way, they've pointed out that in the contact tracing, only something like 3%, it's a minuscule amount of people, are affected by those who come into the country. Let me just go to, so this idea that, you know, people are coming in from foreign countries and spreading it everywhere is a nonsense. Paul, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Paul?
Kyle, how's it going?
Paul, okay, Michal believes if we have the guard resources, they should come to the door and shame them.
Yeah, well, I was only waiting for Michal to say when you arrive in Dublin Airport, they put a bell around your neck to keep away from you. I mean, going around screaming leprosy or something. I just think it's ridiculous expecting the guards to do this. It's turning the country back into a nanny state. I mean, there were suggestions there to the guards being able to walk into your house to count how many people are there. I mean, there has to be a bit of personal responsibility over
there. Well, personal responsibility, clearly, according to the HSC, is not working because a third of people are not turning up.
Well, there has to be another way other than the guards. I mean, the guards can't police the roads as it is. There's not enough of them out there to do the job.
The Glimmer Man years ago, they walk around to see if you had your light on.
The Glimmer Man, yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be another way of doing it. There has to be. I mean, you can't rely on the guards for everything. We've seen in this country over the past couple of years how political policing has worked in this country. And we figured out it doesn't work because it just turns people against them. So
yeah, but that happened during the water protests, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
course.
And especially one particular station in particular that I pass every day. I see protests outside it every day since. I mean,
so in other words, the local community have lost faith in the Garda Síochána.
Would you have any respect for the guards in Coolock, the way they treated people?
Well, I know a lot of people in Coolock had lost respect during the border protest because they felt the Garda Síochána were doing the job of the state.
Well, it was political.
The water company. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can't expect the guards to do this. It's ridiculous. I mean, if every person in this state, if they're called for a test, should go. I'd go. And I haven't stopped working for the whole time, thankfully. And I'm being responsible and I'm going home. As I said to you before now, the minute I go home, I get into a dressing gown, have a shower before I go near anyone in the house.
So if you got a call tomorrow saying, listen, Paul, you were in there having a bite to eat yesterday in a chipper or in a restaurant or whatever it is, and somebody in there had COVID-19, do you want to pop in there for a test? No problem.
Yeah, no bother.
Well, okay, why do you think people are refusing to do it?
Because I think it's, especially with using the guards, it's the stigma of, I think people are afraid to say, oh, I was tested for COVID. I'm waiting for a result. That people are like, they're just panicking over it.
I know. And by the way, I was explaining, I was in the back to the coachman's again. I was in the coachman's. And I put too much pepper on me beef. And I sneezed. I swear to God, I did. I kind of went, into my elbow, right? And everybody looked at me. And there was a girl sitting beside me with her boyfriend, and she broke her shite laughing. And she says, she says, I was in Tesco's the other day and I coughed. She said, I thought they were going to arrest me.
I have to say, now, are you getting sponsored by the Coachman? You
never know. I might get a free Carvery today out of that one.
Well, at the money you're on, you don't need a free Carvery. Money bag's boiling.
Anyway, you think it's just a step too far, Paul, to get the guards involved? There you go, Micheál, which are military states shaming people.
It's a step too far. But how many people are like Paul? It must be one in 100,000.
No, they're not. Most people are like Paul.
They're not. If they were, you just said it a second ago.
I said a third of people are not turning up. A third. So the majority are.
That is an awful lot of people. One not turning up is one too many. A third of them. Paul goes home. There's a meticulous man. He has a shower. Then he goes out and sits down with his family. But if he was in Coachman's and anywhere else...
Can we all stop mentioning the Coachman's?
Or anywhere else, and ahead of IT, and there was something wrong, he'd straight away go. But how many assholes have with this? That's not a bleeding on asshole. I don't need that. Sorry. Oh, no, I didn't go near them. The point is, there's too many like that.
Mm.
The point is, Paul there, how many are like him? You said maybe
I'd say most people are like me. And yes, there are, as you say, arseholes in this country, but there are in every walk of life. And we can't, legislate for arseholes.
Right, I'll give you a good one. I was working with a guy, and he just had a pet in Italy shortly before the COVID hit. And I said to him, there's a ban on that, you can't go there. I'm not bleeding, I pet thousands of balls, I'm not going to lose my money. They went. I said, you're off. Anyway, when he came back, we barred him from the yard. But the point about it was, one lad's mother died, and his wife's grandmother died. Oh, should they have died anyway? They got the COVID. And that is, to me, I don't care a rattling damn typical of what's happening. That was only in the beginning of the COVID.
Yeah, but there are people out there, Micheál, who are self-employed, for example, or people who work even in a company, and they have this fear that if they get the COVID, they'll be out of work. And many of those people who have suffered financially badly over the last 3 or 4 months, they're already in a lot of debt. They've just got back to work again. The last thing they need is have their business closed down or to lose their job for 2 weeks, and they feel perfectly fine. And not that I agree with what they're doing, but I can understand why they're doing it and why they're not coming clean.
Hey, you know, I listened to the topic there about potentially using the guards to go to a COVID-ridden potential home. Why would you endanger a guard to go and do a job that's medical? Do you remember the film E.T. when all the authorities zoomed down on the house and they had tunnels all over the place with vans and people in suits? White suits going around, space masks on them. Send them out to the houses. That'll frighten the shite out of them. Don't be putting the guards at risk. They're bad enough trying to cope with the thugs that are out on the road and the streets, ruining the feckin' country we live in, you know? Send the medical team over there with plastic tunnels and big medical vans, and that'll scare the bejesus out of them. Don't be putting the civil servants at risk.
I hope you're taking the piss, Morris. I really, really do hope you're taking the piss. Complete. Said people in hazmat suits. The chap or the girl only went out for a meal, for God's sake.
Hey, Noel. Yeah, I think the guards will come to the house to make them get a test. But the problem is, Noel, like, you know, how would you get them to get the test done? Would you have a law there to literally hold them down? Like, how would that work, Noel?
Yeah, there isn't legislation for that yet. The suggestion is that the guards would just go and give them a kind of reminder.
What they do is do what they do in China. Look, if you don't comply, seal your house shut. Seal you into the house so you can't get out. Comply or die, that's the problem.
Jesus, you're all absolutely mad. What is wrong with the people of Ireland? I'm ashamed of the lot of you. Katie, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Katie?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Katie, I mean, is it a good idea to encourage people to go if they're not going?
Absolutely, and coming from a totally different place than you and some of the callers there who are, as much as they're being serious, there's a little bit of joviality in their remarks, which I don't appreciate because my daughter is a nurse. She's based in London. She's been on the front line now since the beginning. She got the virus. Luckily, it wasn't a severe case of it, but she was very, very ill with it. And has got post-traumatic stress as a result of dealing with the front line.
She's post-traumatic stress from dealing with working in hospital?
No, from dealing with patients, from dealing with what she had to witness, Niall. It's not something that people understand.
But I mean, I imagine, and I'm not being disrespectful, I imagine working in a hospital where people are dying on a regular basis, you know, from all sorts of illnesses and diseases and car crashes, that can be quite traumatic at the best of times.
Oh, this is totally different. My daughter was advised by, that they have the counselling service over there, it's very, very good for the nurses and doctors on the front line. And she was advised on medical advice to come home, and she came home for 2 weeks, self-isolated. And my daughter that came home, Niall, wasn't the girl I sent over 4 years ago. And I'm getting upset because when people come on and they're being complacent and they're laughing about things, look at somebody who's been in the middle of it. Look at somebody who's come out the other side.
But Katie, she was in London, and everybody knows, of course, London was the hardest hit city in Europe.
Look at the Oireachtas the other day when the nurses were on, one nurse in particular was being asked questions about, you know, what it has done to her, and she said it herself, she's burnt out.
And I have spoken to nurses, many nurses, with different experiences. I only spoke to one there recently, and she said to me that it wasn't that bad at all. She said, actually, we've had worse times in the last 10 or 15 years with different flu seasons and stuff like that.
Everybody is different. And I tell you now that there are more nurses who this will affect them forever. This
well,
is not
I would suggest, and again, without being disrespectful to you, Katie, I suggest if somebody is not... If that affects somebody that much working in healthcare, which is their job to deal with people who have horrendous accidents sometimes and diseases and viruses and cancers and die. And you know, okay, this is another virus, unfortunately, that we have to contend with as human beings. And hopefully it'll go away very soon for everybody's sake and for the world's sake. But in saying that, if somebody's not able to deal with it, I suggest they may be in the wrong job. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but that seems...
No, Niall, and I'll come back at you. You know, my daughter has dealt with death up front and personal, death of patients from all sorts of reasons, from accidents, the whole lot, has prepped them and gotten them ready for their removal from the hospital to the funeral directors and so on. She deals with that. That's a given. But this type of nursing has really...
In what respect? When you say this type of nursing, maybe give us a bit of an insight into that and what you mean.
If you watch the documentary here, when it showed nurses having to go into a room not to be able to touch or comfort or be in any way able to give the person who essentially is dying any kind of succor or love, but just nurse them and be in full hazmat gear, you know, PPE gear as they call it, and to listen to the countless times where you were watching somebody die, and you know, that's a given in the nursing world, that you're going to come across people who are going to die. But this is a very different way, because you are totally isolated in your own way. You're isolated against the patient. You're isolated against any kind of contact with family. I mean, at one point she had somebody who was at the last stages, and she herself decided that the family couldn't come in. So she was there, and she FaceTimed.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing to do, because the very thought of somebody dying belonged to you where you couldn't be with them. As Irish people, of course, we always want to be there. And that's just a tradition, you know, that we were all around the bed when the person passed away. And it's horrible to think of. Horrible.
I've got in touch with her and have been in touch with her and said that little bit of a feeling that she showed them and love and support, they have that forever. Now, not
Absolutely.
Everybody... that. I mean, you know, horse.
Okay, but getting back to the topic, and I'm sorry to hear your daughter's gone through such a difficult time, by the way, and it's a very, very difficult time for everybody. And I'm really sorry to hear that.
She's back in work. And
okay.
She is coping with it, but it's real, Niall. It's not.
Oh, no. By the way, nobody for a minute is suggesting it's not real, Katie. And, you know, when you say people are having a bit of a giggle about different topics that we do, life is not about being serious all the time.
No, I've had a giggle too. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Okay, but getting back to the topic, should the guards be calling to people's doors?
Absolutely, they should. I'll tell you why. Because our government has sat back on this, like they did with the nursing homes. They sat back. And then all the stuff came out about the cases in the nursing home. They're sitting back now, and people are not allowed to go in as much as they can. Obviously, the first thing is taking care and making sure the virus doesn't spread. But to leave people who are vulnerable anyway without visitors.
Oh, that's shocking. No, I completely agree with you. And it is absolutely shocking.
We had it the other night. There was a party about 10 or 12 doors away from me. Very loud, a lot of people there. A squad car came into the estate and I was going, they're probably just doing a drive around. They pulled up, they went in and were back out in a couple of minutes. And all I could hear after that was laughing and joking, coming out and, you know, wasn't that effing ridiculous and all this sort of thing. People have become complacent again. And what's going to happen here is there's going to be a resurgence now because people...
But you are allowed to have a party in your house, Katie.
No, I wasn't. It was the idea that the police went in and weren't taken seriously. Whatever they did or said, it was a joke. And I'm saying we have to get tough. The government have to make a decision. They have to, they express excuses.
Well, do me a favour. I have to, Katie, I have to go to break. I'm not cutting you short because I want to hear you again after the break. And I know Andy might want to say something to you. So please stay with me, Katie, all right? Keep texting. The number's 087-188-0008. Okay, Katie believes the government needs to get tougher. And in saying that, the suggestion today by Fergus O'Dowd is, or the TD Fergus O'Dowd, that the Gardaí should be calling to people's doors if they don't take the COVID test to true contact tracing. But stay there, please, Katie. Let me go to Andy. Andy, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Andy?
Good afternoon, Niall. How has your morning been?
My morning is good, Andy. I'm having a good day so far. Thank you for asking. You've heard Katie say this is a serious situation. It's a global emergency. People are dying from it, clearly. And something has to be done to contain it. So she doesn't see an issue at all with the Garda Síochána calling to people's doors and saying, you need to get tested. You were with someone in a restaurant the other night.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that Fine Gael hasn't lost his fascist roots anyway, wanting the Gardaí to come in and knock on people's doors or put their boot through the door and drag people out of their homes. Is that what they're going to do?
Well, they haven't suggested that. It's a kind of gentle reminder, I suppose. A third of people who are contacted from contact tracing to get a test don't show up for the test.
Yeah, well, it's a pandemic, we understand that, but unfortunately, and what people don't realise that... one person every hour dies of cancer in this country. That's 24 a day. And
the figure's actually a bit higher than that. We got it from the Irish Cancer Society there the other day. So I think it is higher than 24. I think it's a third of the approximately 90 people that die every day.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's going to be another pandemic in a few months or a year's time where people who have waiting on tests,
scans
and et cetera, and being postponed. All our eggs are in one basket at the moment. And thankfully, it's been lowered, but they're warning about another pandemic.
No. I think we've discussed that, and I'm not going to disagree with you. But so you would disagree with the idea of the guards knocking on your door and saying, "Listen, you need to go for a test."
Yeah. Are we going to infringe every person?
Okay. Well, let me ask Katie then. I respect what you're saying and everything you're saying. And yes, you know, we have to take everyone's health into consideration. But people have this feeling that, you know, okay, you have already infringed my liberties over the last 4 months. A guard calling to my door and telling me that I have to go for a test, you know, is kind of a step too far. That's what they're saying.
I just don't understand why people are being this sort of indifferent about it, Niall. Look at what we've just been through in the last 3 months, 4 months. I mean, think about the amount of people who have died. Why wouldn't you want to know whether you have it or you don't have it?
Because a lot of people don't want to know because they don't want to be out of work. They don't want the social stigma of it. And there is a social stigma, whether you like it or not.
You know what? There's social stigma and then there's somebody who doesn't go for the test, who's 30 to 40, who gets the virus so bad that they end up on life support in a hospital. And, you know, it's happening, Niall. You could be that one person. I know personally I would want it. But what my biggest argument is, the guards, okay, if they're asked to do it, then do it. But it's the government sitting back on their asses now, thinking that they've dealt with the problem and it's gone and we'll get through it. It's taking the power and saying, right, like this, they brought in the rule where you were supposed to be wearing a mask when you went into shops and stuff like that. And I spoke to two managers in two different department stores and asked them, what's the directive? What are you doing? Are you
stopping? There's no law.
But what I'm saying is the government should have said, right.
I've been in three or four shops in the last week and a vast majority of people. On Monday, I saw more people wearing masks. Yesterday, I saw very few people wearing them.
What the government had to have done was to make the decision that it is compulsory and then it takes the responsibility.
See, the government are reluctant constantly, Katie, and I understand the reluctance, although they did do it at the start when they brought in legislation, which the Sunset Clause runs out in November, okay, this is for the emergency legislation. But they are reluctant to legislate for this kind of thing because you are heading into, you know, almost into communism when you start getting into ideas where you legislate for people to wear masks, where you because that becomes messy because some people can't wear them, some people are not able to wear them. So, I mean, it's messy.
control something, if you want to control this and keep it at bay, sometimes you have to do things you don't like. Now,
okay, but Andy doesn't like the word control. But Andy, just very quickly respond to that, if you can. I'm running out of time. Andy, I mean, the word control to you probably means something different.
They're completely different. You're taking away basic human rights. And the reason people weren't allowed in to see their relatives' deathbeds was because the HSE and a lot of these places hadn't got the gear to give them. There was no... If you had
PPE,
the proper clothes, PPE, to give to people to go in to sit with their dying relatives, that would be no problem. They would have had someone... They would have had their family with them, or at least a couple of members of their family.
Okay. Address the point very quickly, which you made before I go into the news here. Address the point that she made. Look, if we're going to take this seriously, we have to bring in legislation, i.e. legislation to wear masks, or i.e. legislation where the guards can go and tell you, force you to take a test.
No, the government's completely wrong. They reckon 30,000 people was going to die from this pandemic in Ireland.
They got it completely wrong. Yeah, thankfully.
Completely wrong. Thankfully. And now do you want to believe them and what to say you have to wear and what you have to do when they're completely wrong. Thankfully they were completely wrong, but they got it wrong. So as far as I'm concerned, limiting people's freedoms and...
But I think the point he's making, they got it wrong. Not as many as they predicted, Katie.
The numbers, Niall, but we got the pandemic here. We got it big time. And if you were to ask who died, what would they do?
They predicted in the community, even with a lockdown, tens of thousands of people would die. Well, that's what they predicted. And thankfully, that didn't happen.
You know what sickens me about this is, if they hadn't predicted so high, if they'd predicted much lower, and we got the results we got, they'd still be condemned. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
That's not the way it works when you're in government. When you're in government, it's not a guessing game. You have to be honest with people, and you have to use the right analytics as well. And the analytics they used were from Oxford University, the same ones that the English used, the same ones that the Americans used at the very, very start, and they were proven to be incorrect and inaccurate in the way they were used. But that's a whole other thing as well, Katie, that people need to talk about in the future, the way we discuss those things in the future. I mean, when you turn around to people in the general population and you say, for example, hundreds of thousands of people are dying, you have to be pretty sure that figure is reasonably accurate before you scare the living bejesus out of people. And that did scare people at the time. Thankfully, that didn't happen. Thankfully, in the general community, many people didn't die. Sadly, many of those in care homes, or the majority of those that did die, were people who were elderly in care homes, and they should have been protected from the start, and everybody knows that.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic.